grab your lunch, turn up the volume, and get ready for 3 hours of sports conversation surrounding the hottest sports topics and pop culture events of the day. It's the new Sports 180. To be a part of today's show and share your thoughts, call in to 656-9900, 656-9900, or via Twitter using @Sports180. Now, with Heather Harrington, here is Josh Ward.
Good Wednesday afternoon. Welcome in to Sports 180. Thank you for being with us today. We are excited to be here for the next 3 hours. We are halfway through the week. It's hump day. We have marched into the second week of April.
Yeah.
Now, typically, I'm not a, you really want to move forward in time, but moving forward's all right now. Heather Harrington, good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not minding hitting the fast forward button over the next couple of weeks. I don't want to do it for an extended period of time, but if we just zoom through the month of April, I will be 100% okay with that. We're getting some Easter stuff lined up for the boys. We're doing little projects every day, so going to color some eggs, going to do some stuff. We've got some little Bible stories that we're reading, so that's been a lot of fun to focus on this week, and just making it and actually things going on in the sports world. So it's all good right now.
Yes, we will take a look around the sports world coming up in just a moment. We'll have the face-off at the end of the hour. Also, an update on the college football playoff, which is not changing this upcoming year, and it may be a few years, but you might want to expect some change to that. We'll tell you about that here this afternoon as well. Braden Gall in the final hour will join us. We'll talk some college football with him at 2:30. Also, Tyler Ivins is going to stop by at 1:30 to discuss his mock draft, which is out for the NFL draft, which starts up 2 weeks from tomorrow. So a lot of things happening. We'll have you covered this afternoon. You can join us at 656-9900 as we do take a look around the sports world.
The biggest news, the main stories, the headlines that have everyone talking. It's time to take a look around the sports world.
Tom Brady was a guest on Howard Stern's show earlier today on SiriusXM, and I think the part of the conversation that's gotten the most attention so far has had to do with Brady and Belichick, the relationship there, who deserves more credit. That's the argument that's been there for a long time. I have long thought that it's a fairly silly one because it's obvious to me neither one has six Super Bowl rings
without the other one.
And that's part of what Brady said, saying, quote, "I think it's a pretty dumb argument," changed the word there, actually, that people would say that because, again, I can't do his job and he can't do mine. So the fact you could say, would I be successful without him? The same level of success? I don't believe I would have been. But I feel the same vice versa as well. To have him allowed me to be the best I can be. So I'm grateful for that. I very much believe that he feels the same way about me because we've expressed that to each other. When Brady announced that he was leaving the Patriots put out statements. Belichick called Tom the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a symbiotic relationship. I'm not saying they can't exist without each other, but, you know, if you're going to have light, you're also going to have darkness. That's how you recognize the light. They don't play for 9 Super Bowls and win 6 of them without each other. Maybe Bill Belichick has a couple of Super Bowls. Maybe Tom Brady has a couple of Super Bowls if he's in a different situation. But I guarantee they don't have 6 without each other. They each played to each other's strengths, and it lasted. It was a relationship that lasted 20 years. I mean, that's amazing to think about the levels that they were able to achieve. And so I agree with Brady. I think it's a blank argument, a very crummy one. I've never understood that one.
Yeah. So congrats on their success. They've gone their separate ways, but easily the most accomplished pair. And that's something that can't be debated in NFL history. So that conversation that you'll see get some attention. Something else getting attention, Mike Gundy yesterday, looking at May 1st as a date to try to get back into the offices and let's get the players back and let's get this thing rolling. And then Oklahoma State had to put out a statement and said, yeah, that's not really how it's going to go. The Big 12 has shut us down until May 31st, so we're going to follow the Big 12's rules.
You know, the only guy not worried about getting a haircut right now in the United States of America is probably Mike Gundy. He already had the mullet going, so he's just going to keep rocking that. He was being very optimistic. Maybe he was being a little tone deaf. I heard that descriptor used for him. I don't know what the timeline looks like. It seemed that that was very optimistic. I mean, he had to have looked at a calendar yesterday and said, oh, today's April 7th. Yeah, in 3 weeks, we're going to be back to normal, back to business as usual. He probably knew that wasn't the case. Maybe he was trying to play to his fan base and try to get people rallied up and excited, but it definitely missed the mark. Even though I appreciate his optimism, that was probably just a little too much.
Yeah, I would say so. The athletic director said May 1st.
I wonder where he came for that. Like, where did that come from? Did he just grab it out of the sky? Or is he hoping that we do get to celebrate Taco Tuesday or Cinco de Mayo on Taco Tuesday in a restaurant with all of our friends? Maybe that's what he was also looking at.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't hear the comments. I read the transcript, and I mean, I've got an idea of where he's getting some of his information, and I would tell him to look elsewhere. Athletic Director Mike Holder declined to back up Gundy's timeline, saying in a statement, May 1st seems a little ambitious. And look, hope and optimism, that's great. We continue to talk about that. I think it's important. Hope and optimism is important, and being positive and all that stuff. That's important now, and it's important all the time. But it's devalued when it comes with bad information. And that's what also needs to be kept in mind. We need good information with the hoped and optimism. Accurate information, I guess I should describe it as.
Yeah, I don't see what the problem with saying we're going to get these guys back on campus as soon as it's safe for them to be back on campus. If that's beginning of May, middle of May, beginning of June, whenever that is, I mean, you just leave it open-ended. You don't marry yourself to a certain date. Like, as soon as it's safe, those guys are back on campus, and we are rocking and rolling so that we can have football in the fall.
I'm not saying this because he's Tennessee's coach, but Jeremy Pruitt has, I think, handled and answered the questions about the situation very well, saying it's more about the safety and health of our players, and some football work is happening behind the scenes. Let's not dismiss that either. But he has put the priority on safety and health, and frankly, following what the experts and people who were in charge tell him. He's not coming up with his own different timeline that the league has not yet approved. So I think that's worth pointing out as well. Not surprisingly, we're seeing reports of MLB players saying, yeah, I don't know about this whole 4 month away from my family thing in some isolated baseball factory in Arizona. I still remain, here comes the pessimism, but I don't think that the May-June thing is happening unless things really change to where maybe they could have actual contact with their family members. But in terms of the proposal and the report from ESPN a couple of days ago, that to me still seems unlikely. What do you think as you start to hear baseball players saying, yeah, I don't know about this?
Yeah, I don't blame them for saying, yeah, I don't know, I need to know more information. That sounds like a long time away from my family. I think if the commissioner calls you or your manager called you and was like, do you want to get paid this year? If you want to get paid, this is the only way we get paid. So you talk it over with your family and see if y'all can come to an agreement. I mean, because that's the bottom line. If they don't want to play, then that's fine. You don't have to play. But guess what? You're not getting all that money on your contract for the 2020 season. It just is what it is.
Tiger Woods sharing a photo online, a little family quarantine time, a champions dinner. A lot of green there in that photo, not coincidentally.
Yeah, and he was the host. And he said, and you could see there was like fajitas on the table. He was beckoning back to another time when he had won the Masters and the dinner that he had selected for the champions to feast on. And so I thought it was a really cool little moment that he shared as his staff had prepared dinner for him, champion style, and he was there with his family. I thought it was really cool.
Joel, fill me in here. You told us off the air that you took a call from somebody who was very upset that we've not been talking about the baseball that is being played, and apparently he called over to our News Talk station as well. You got to tell me about this guy. I'm sorry to bring it up on the air, but if we're taking a look around the sports world, I need to know where this baseball is that we've been missing.
Well, and we tried to look it up, but somebody called in claiming they had been listening to our radio station for the last several weeks and was very upset that we had not been talking about the baseball games that had been played. I honestly had no idea what he was talking about, so he said some choice words. I hung up on him. He called Adam Litton over at our sister station, News Talk 98.7, and called me some names to Adam that I can't repeat on the air. And yeah, and we tried looking it up off the air. We could not find of any baseball games that we know. If there's like a minor professional league going on in another country that I don't know about, our apologies, our deepest sympathies that we're not acknowledging, you know, minor league baseball going on in Cambodia. But I just no idea what was going on. And by the way, when baseball news broke earlier this week about Jeff Passan talking about, hey, could we get a May start? We talked about that on Sports 180 yesterday. So we are talking about baseball news, just haven't really had any games to discuss.
Tell him to call Tyler, because if baseball is being played somewhere, Tyler is gambling on it, and he knows all the details. 6 a.m. Yeah,
feel free to call to go on the air. I would love to hear about the baseball that is being played. I'd like to, you know, we're probably not going to cover overseas baseball, so would like to hear that it's happening in America. There was like a Sandlot game that took place in Arizona, I think, a couple of weeks ago that Trevor Bauer put together.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, I don't know that we have a whole lot of information on the box score for that outing. So we'll try to get to it. 656-9900. Be nice to Joel. He's doing everything he can to put us on the air, and we're very appreciative of that. 656-9900. Also, the college football playoff. Expansion talk has come back again. Surprise, surprise. We'll have update for you on that coming up right here on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the sports animal. This is Sports 180. Thanks for being with us today. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Joel Silverberg along as well. Get a little college football talk in for you. There is a football recruit prospect that is on the radar. His name's been out there for the last few days, but we'll tell you about him as well coming up as Tennessee is in play. So football activities are still happening, just remotely and not as aggressively, not face-to-face. Business is still taking place. We should point that out.
Yeah, absolutely. Business is still taking place. And if you want to do maybe a little business on the golf course and social distance, we'll remind you, a lot of golf courses are still open, and we still have a couple of our golf cards. You can log on to 991thesportsanimal.com, and for $139, you get access to some of the best golf courses around this area. It comes with a cart fee. I mean, everything's included. So enjoy a round of golf, several rounds of golf, with our golf cards at 991thesportsanimal.com.
That's right. Take advantage. Big time savings available, and fresh air, golf, we could all use it.
Yeah, and it really is. Have you felt like you've settled into a little bit of a routine? I know it kind of, we were joking around yesterday or the day before about it feeling like Groundhog Day, where you're just like, oh my gosh, is this ever going to end? But I will say, I have finally gotten a routine down of when we get up, when we have breakfast, because all of that had sort of changed, and when I eat lunch. But I feel it feels a little more normal than being so alien in just like a totally new schedule. Do you feel the same?
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I've said, not jokingly, from a social distancing standpoint, I'm very comfortable. But yeah, I mean, from the day to day with the family, I mean, you know, prepping for the show, I'm not used to having a 2-year-old climb up on me and trying to drag me here and there, but I enjoy it. I mean, it's fun. So, you know, Max, he's not too high maintenance right now. Owen runs off and does his own thing, but yeah, routine wise, I think I'm there right now. I will be ready to break out of the routine and get back into the office with you and everybody else. But in the meantime, I think I've made the adjustment for sure.
Yeah, and besides, it's not like our office wasn't full of distractions as well, because I mean, Tom Miller could pop in at any time. And we're asking him for his Mount Rushmore of fruit, and he starts throwing out mangoes and pineapples. So, you know, there's always distraction. So you're just trading Tom Miller for your son, Owen.
Well, also every Tuesday and Thursday at Cumulus Knoxville, we have the company-wide Parcheesi tournaments. So the fact that we're not doing those right now has really kind of opens up some time to get ready, too, I would say.
Yeah, to get ready for the show.
If you go to a stadium and see the survey that was put together by Brett McMurphy, I think you'll get some very interesting information. The website, actually, watchstadium.com. Brett McMurphy, longtime college football writer. He was on Sports Talk last week with John and Jimmy. Listen to what he said here. I'll just let you break down some of the numbers. But the survey had to do with the state of the college football playoff and the possibility of expanding it in the future. Here's Brett McMurphy.
A whopping 88% of athletic directors want the playoff to be expanded when the current college football playoff contract ends after the 2025 regular season, according to a survey conducted by Stadium. Of the 130 athletic directors, 112 participated in the Stadium survey. Of the 88% that won an expanded playoff, 72% an 8-team model, while only 12% of the athletic directors want the playoff to remain at 4 teams. So how would the new 8-team playoff look? 2/3 of the athletic directors believe the 8 teams should be comprised of the Power 5 champions, the highest ranked team from the group of 5, and 2 at-large teams. However, 35% of the Power 5 athletic directors do not believe the group of 5 should receive an automatic bid to an 8-team playoff. One group of 5 athletic director put it this way: if they go any other way than allowing a group of 5 team an automatic bid to the playoff, they are creating an opportunity for an antitrust lawsuit. So where would the quarterfinals be played? By a narrow 53-47% margin, the athletic directors voted to play the quarterfinal rounds on the campus site stadiums as opposed to the bowl sites.
Brett McMurphy, college football reporter at watchstadium.com. 88% of the athletic directors who were surveyed said, yeah, let's expand this thing. 12% said, keep it at 4 teams.
Yeah, and I would be in that minority. I like the playoff where it is. I understand that there's been a couple of teams who think they should have been in it that haven't gotten in it, but I think I just think it's been a fantastic product. I am not a huge fan of asking amateur athletes to play more games while other people rake in money based on their product and their ability to play. I also think the longer a season goes on, the more susceptible a great team is to stubbing its toe. I mean, it just is. Like, I mean, if you're 13-0 and you've got to still play 2 more games, you know, that, yeah, you've been the best for 13 weeks, and I think that if you fell short, that would stink. But I am a big fan of the 4. This does not surprise me, though. It's moving towards expansion. Whenever the contract is up, it will be expanded. I think it does go to an 8-team playoff, but I think they better start coming up with a plan to compensate players for whenever they roll out the expansion.
Yeah, now, I would say that In the grand scheme, if you expand the playoff, the toe stubbers would benefit largely because you stub your toe, as I would say most often that occurs during the regular season, right? So if you have more playoff spots, then if you
That's
stub your toe,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you have a better chance of getting in. I am in favor of expanding. I'm also in favor, like I put together a perfect world with it. So I'm in favor of expanding, also giving home field to the first round top 4 seeds. If you were to go 8 teams, let's say if you're going 4-8, the first 4 seeds in the first round would get home field. So instead of playing a game on a neutral site in Atlanta and Miami and Dallas, you go to the home field. So to me, that helps benefit the regular season, because that's an obvious fear. If you expand the playoff, well, in some ways you devalue the regular season. But if you expand the playoff and give home field advantage, playing for seeding matters more.
You're right.
And, because right now, what does seeding really mean? Not much, right?
But how realistic do you think that would be? Because I still, one, it only passed in this thing as a very narrow margin. And when the bowls mm-hmm. get involved, the bowls are going to have a say, I feel like.
Well, I would have thought that the voting would have gone the other way. So it's maybe more realistic than I would have thought.
Okay.
But again, this is my perfect world. So I would have home field. So seeding matters, and more games will matter at the end of the regular season, or I guess just throughout, but especially in the final few weeks, because more playoff spots will be on the line. So I actually think there are ways to enhance the regular season by expanding the playoff. But you are right, the bowls could be an obstacle, but you're also creating more games, right, in some ways. So that's perfect world, Josh, and finding a perfect world in college football is that's a difficult world to reach. You have a lot of obstacles. You want to talk about the COVID-19 as an obstacle? That's nothing compared to the college football obstacles you have to get in place to take the next step for change.
Well, especially because there's so many chiefs. I mean, there are just so many bosses that they want their say. And, you know, where does Notre Dame fit into all of this? Where do the non-Power 5 fit into all this? And people just have different agendas, and they're going to look at their agenda and see how they can best service it, which is what they are entrusted to do. I mean, I'm not being ignorant to that, but I do think this is going to be the norm. I do think that this all passes. I'm like you. I would like to see the higher seeds rewarded by being able to play their first round games at home. And of course, we're all going to watch it. I mean, it's more football. Or are you telling me that people are going to find other things to do? No, they're going to stop whatever they're doing and make sure they sit down for extra football games. So it is headed that direction. It'll mean more money, you know, which will be desperately needed after all of this, because there will be some athletic departments that are kind of reeling with other sports after the COVID-19 crisis dies down. But I like the proposal. I know that that's where it's headed. So I've kind of already in my mind gotten over. But I love the plus one. I think it has been a slam dunk, no-brainer. Why didn't we do this 20 years ago? And maybe an 18 playoff, I will get there in my mind one day, but I have always loved the plus one, because you still basically have to be perfect to get in.
To get into the playoff?
Yeah.
Most teams have had one loss, right?
Yeah. But I mean, you know, you're going to have two lost teams getting into an 18 playoff.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah,
you would.
And we've only had one of those champions ever. So.
Yeah, but if you're a one-loss team, you're not perfect anymore. You're a toe stubber.
You are a toe stubber. Yeah, that would be the more proper label for sure.
All right, we'll come back. What do you think of the conversation? Joel Silverberg, your thoughts as well. Coming up, 656-9900, if you would like to weigh in on 88% of FBS athletic directors wanting an expanded college football playoff, as surveyed by Brett McMurphy. We'll come back here on Sports 180 on this Wednesday afternoon on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thanks for being with us. Download the WNML app. You can listen on the go anytime. Tyler Ivins, 1 hour from now, will join us to talk about the NFL draft, which is coming up in 2 weeks, and his mock draft, which is out today. You can check those out, mock drafts from Tyler and other hosts on the Sports Animal at 99.1thesportsanimal.com. And in a moment, we'll have an update for you on a talented defensive line prospect who Tennessee has reached out to as he's become available. We'll tell you about that in a moment. Ahead of it, though, the conversation that we had last segment had to do with the college football playoff and the possibility of expanding. Now, it's not expanding this year or probably in the next few years, but at the end of the contract, at least, at the end of the 2025 season, the possibility of going to 8 or more teams, 8 would be the most likely number, I would say, as 88% of athletic directors at the FBS level polled by Brett McMurphy would prefer that. Joel Silverberg, as we discussed that last segment, your thoughts on where things stand and that opinion that appears to be there, that most ADs would like to see the playoff go from 4 to 8 teams.
Well, I think the expansion is coming. I think it's going to happen. The money that's involved. I would like to see home field advantage campus games for, you know, the first round for the higher seeds. I think that would be a great atmosphere in college football. I'm not in favor of an automatic bid for the group of five. I'm in favor of a similar structure under the BCS format, where if a team like Boise State or UCF wants to go to the Fiesta Bowl or the Orange Bowl, they would have to be undefeated, be ranked in the top 12 in the final bowl rankings. I'd be in favor of something like that, where the group of five is given criteria where they can have a seat at the table if there is a team that is good enough and warrants it. Because right now, there's no way that they can be in the top four. It's just not happening. I'm honestly not really in favor of the Power Five conference champions, because you're going to have some seasons where you've got three lost teams getting in. And that's probably unavoidable just because the Power Five is the Power Five. But with other teams on the outside looking in, the Notre Dames and all that, I think the criteria for getting in will ultimately stay the same. Otherwise, you're simply just adding more teams to the mix. So I think that that's kind of ultimately it. But I also don't think that we've really had a season where you can justify that there were more than four teams capable of winning the national championship. I think in recent years, there's a clear gap between teams 2 and 3 or teams 3 and 4.
I think there could be a
first round upset. But I agree. I don't think those teams are going to be winning it very often. I think it's more creating inventory and appeasing either athletic directors or commissioners that they've gotten an opportunity. But I think the cream is still going to rise to the top, Heather, in the playoff. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think Joel hit on a really good point that I hadn't hit on yet. And that's that 1-2. I mean, we were even talking about what a struggle it was to fill out the full field this past year and find that number four spot. I mean, 1, 2, and 3 this past year were so head and shoulders above everybody else. I mean, when you expand to 6 or when you expand to 8, what kind of caliber of first round matchups are you going to get? Are you just going to get more huge blowouts and are people not going to like that product, or will you get some compelling matchups? I think he touches on an interesting point there.
Yeah, I mean, I think 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, we're likely going to see pretty large point spreads in those games.
Are we sleeping? Like, should we be considering the 6-team playoff more with 1 and 2 getting a bye?
We could. Having a bye there could create even bigger. I would prefer to see them just go ahead and play, because I think they're going to have a nice advantage from a personnel standpoint, most likely. I think that's too much of an advantage. I would prefer to just have 8 and have them play at the home sites.
My thing,
let that be the advantage.
Sorry, my thing with the buys, too, would be that if the playoff games played on campus sites are generating a lot of revenue, and say these two play-in games to play the 1 and 2 seeds were held on campus sites as well, it's almost, not from a football standpoint, obviously, but there would be a loss of revenue potentially for the teams that are constantly being the 1 and the 2 seeds. If it were Alabama and Clemson every year, they might miss out on an opportunity to have that campus game. And maybe that isn't the whole, that isn't the most important thing in the grand scheme of things. But I would expect that there's going to be an expansion where there are no buys. I would expect to see it go to 8, if at all.
Yeah, how does this sound to you, just looking at rankings from this past
That's
year?
That's what I was just pulling going, up. Yeah, it's
going straight that way. First round, LSU versus Wisconsin, Ohio State versus Baylor, Clemson versus Oregon, Oklahoma versus Georgia.
I mean, I don't like that. I don't. There's a couple of games that are sort of compelling in there, but like Wisconsin, no. I mean, nothing about that is exciting. They ended up being, what, a 4-loss team this year after the bowl. Or when it was all said and done, they were a 4-loss team.
I think, too,
they finished 10-4.
The way that the selection committee was doing the playoff rankings for a while there was, it was kind of dropping teams very significantly once they suffered a second or a third loss to kind of show, hey, we're not really considering these teams at all. Because to me, even with the losses to LSU and Auburn, Alabama was still one of the best 8 teams in college football last year, to me. I mean, it took a missed field goal against Auburn and a really horrible, oddly weird first half in a 4 or 5 point loss to LSU. It's not like Alabama got crushed in 2 games. So now they didn't have any great wins, but to me, I still thought that Alabama, if we were having an 8-team playoff with this past season, to me, Alabama would have been one of the 8 best teams in college football.
Yeah, that's probably true. Either the rankings are done differently or your selection process, that would obviously be a part of this conversation, but totally Alabama would have been a top 8 team. If we're having a real conversation. If not, then scrap this playoff, because if you look at last year and don't think Alabama was one of the 8 best teams, then we have a problem. And, of course, the end of the season had Tua off the field and Mac Jones in at quarterback. I would still say Alabama was one of the 8 best teams.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, they totally were, even with Mac Jones at that quarterback spot. But I think Joel is right that once teams started losing, they were going to make sure they dropped them to where they couldn't climb back in. So I think, like, you can go to, I'm trying to figure out when they dropped. Because week 16, they're out of the top 10. So, yeah, that would have just been
Alabama dropped after losing to Auburn.
Yeah. Okay. So in last week of the season. But, yeah, I just... If you went to the week 16 rankings like you did earlier, I mean, there's not a lot of just awesome matchups in there. I mean, Ohio State, Baylor, no. Especially, I mean, would Matt Rhule have left, or would he have taken a job and then still been coaching like we've seen some coaches do?
Well, that can always be part of it, but I doubt that a coach who's in the playoff is leaving. I mean, he still would have been the coach then.
Mm-hmm.
because the NFL regular season's not done yet.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
So I'll say again, I think most often the top two or three teams are probably just going to beat the heck out of those 6, 7, and 8 teams. I mean, realistically, that's probably what's going to happen. Every once in a while, you'd get an upset. But if you know, LSU was blowing out the other teams that were actually in the playoffs. So it's going to do that against Wisconsin. It would have rolled. So yeah, that's why I think we're talking more about creating inventory, not as much. What?
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you think it would be fair for like LSU to have to play another game? I mean, look at all that they proved this year on their championship run. I mean, is it fair that they would have had one more team that they would have had to play when you look back on it?
I'm not sure what fair has to do with it. Yeah, I don't think fair is a factor.
I think it should be. I think that's one of the, like, especially because one of
I mean,
my
they're playing the same amount of games. It's not like they're playing any more games, right?
Well, they would have had to play one more game to win a title.
Right, I know that, but they're also going to make a lot more money, and that's why they play an SEC title game. Is that fair?
No, what I said back in my initial premise is if you're going to do this, you better also be rolling out some ways to pay the players, because I just think when you're adding more...
Oh, that, yeah. That,
yeah, when you're adding
I'm with you
more
on that. Yeah.
To the student-athlete, the amateur athlete, and you're starting to rake in all this extra money, like, you can't just keep it all for yourself, in my opinion. And that's where the fair comes into it for me.
Yeah, well, 1998 called and would agree with you on that one. So that's a conversation that we should for sure continue, as we have over the last few years. We'll come back. A defensive lineman who is on Tennessee's radar, he's on everybody's radar. We'll tell you about that. We'll hit the face-off with Joel Silverberg coming up next to Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. We'll hit the face-off coming up in just a moment. Joel Silverberg will set us up there. Also, some information from Whit Babcock, the athletic director at Virginia Tech, an important person to hear from, perhaps because he's on the Division I Football Oversight Committee on at least scenarios that exist with the college football season coming up. We'll get to that at the start of the 1 o'clock hour. Before that, though, Fabian Lovett is a name to know, and yep. He is a name that is on the board for a number of SEC and college football teams, Heather Harrington, because the defensive lineman announced recently that he is transferring from Mississippi State. He told Chris Hummer of 247 Sports that he's heard from 20-plus schools since he entered the transfer portal earlier this week. Those schools include Florida, Ole Miss, rival of Mississippi State would matter, of course. Then you go outside the SEC, Michigan, Oregon, Florida State, and Tennessee would be on that list as well. And you can never have too many linemen in the SEC. Tennessee would love to add Lovett, I'm sure, to its group that's going to grow this upcoming year, but also will have to replace a number of defensive linemen after this upcoming season. Lovett will be a redshirt sophomore this upcoming year, and of course would have to apply for a waiver to be able to play right away.
Yeah, and his direct quote that I read, man, my phone has been on fire. Yeah, because you are 6'4", 315 pounds and playing in the SEC. Of course, you're going to be a very hot commodity whenever your name pops up in the transfer portal. So it'll be interesting to see. This is going to be, I guarantee he stays in the SEC with how many schools are so hot on him, high-profile schools in the league. But it'll be interesting to see who wins this battle. It kind of reminds me of the Kerry Blackshear, even though that was basketball. I mean, we all got very familiar with every single part of his game. And I think as long as Lovett is on the table, people will start obsessing over him and figuring out if their school has an advantage in getting him or not.
Yeah, Lovett's father said that tweet from Mike Leach, which he had to apologize for, is going to have to do some training and learning more about Mississippi, that played a role in Lovett's decision to leave. Quote from the father, I didn't feel comfortable with my son being down there with a guy like that from a leadership standpoint, that you can throw anything out there. And Lovett told 247, Florida State, Oregon, Tennessee, and Michigan are schools that he will hopefully go visit after the coronavirus stuff flies over, is how he described it. So 247 Sports, Chris Hummer with the story in the interview with defensive line prospect Fabian Lovett, a transfer. He's in the transfer portal from Mississippi State. Let's hit today's face-off.
Beautiful.
to head, toe to toe. Let's go one-on-one with today's face-off.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man.
Presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
Are you ready?
Let's get this mother crock.
All righty, Joel, what do you have for us here?
All right, will the college football playoff expand by 2026?
Heather, I think this is an all capital YES. You don't make big leaps in college football, you take steps. And we went from a two-team playoff, the BCS, to a four-team playoff, to, I think, an 18 playoff coming in 2026.
Yeah, I think you are absolutely right. Scream it from the rafters, get the cheerleaders lined up in sequential order, because yes, it is going to expand. As soon as the contract is up, they will look at adding these extra games, and we will be looking at an 18 playoff. I think you're absolutely right.
Over under 4,500 passing yards for Tom Brady in 2020.
I'm going to be super optimistic here. I'm going to take the over. If Jameis Winston can throw for 5,000 plus yards, I know he had some big weapons there and he made some big time mistakes. I think Brady cuts out some of those mistakes, but can still get a lot of yards piled up through the air. So give me the slight over. I don't know if he breaks 5,000, but I think he can break 4,500.
I took it as a trick question. Isn't the answer none, because we're not going to have an NFL season this upcoming year? I'm kidding.
Don't jinx it.
I am going to go under. I'm going to go more in the 4,300-yard range. There goes my face-off win. I think they'll lead too often. I don't think they're going to have to come back as much. I don't think they'll need to go through the air as often. If they address the ground game, I think that he'll go under, but around 4,300 yards.
What's your ideal number for a playoff?
I would go 8. My perfect world would be 8 teams. Seeds 1 through 4 get to host the first round. I would love to see a college football playoff setting. The top 2 teams, at least most often, I think would just hand out whippings. But it would be more inventory in home field, and I think would create a little more excitement at the end of the regular season.
I'm from the old school. If it's not broke, don't fix it. It's not broken right now. LSU put on an amazing spectacle of a show this year while going 15-0. I like the +1. I think it holds a lot of value for the regular season. I do understand that it's probably going to expand, but, man, it's not broken right now. It is a killer product, so don't go fixing it.
Any number is a perfect number if Alabama's not included. Is Modern Family the number one sitcom of the 2000s?
This is really hard. I was all in on Modern Family was my appointment television for many, many years. I still think The Office is going to edge them out. But I love Modern Family. I hate that we're saying goodbye to them tonight. It's crazy how much the kids have grown up and changed. But I'm going to say no, it was not.
Yeah, I don't have it as a top two. I think I personally prefer Big Bang Theory over Modern Family as well. Modern Family deserves a ton of credit, but I'm going to go with The Office as the best. It's not Seinfeld, so Eric Kane and company, don't come calling me on that one. But I will say The Office, the best of the 2000s. Parks and Rec would be there battling Big Bang Theory. And part of it, I look at it, my personal preference, plus what others on the outside world and popularity, all that say.
Today is National Zoo Lovers Day. What is your favorite zoo animal?
Heather, this is a runaway for me, in fact. I have an appreciation for all animals, and there are many different exhibits that I love when we go see Zoo Knoxville, but it's the camel. The camel is the, it's not the best description, but it's the goat of animals. I guess technically goats would be the goats of animals, but camel rides at the zoo, it's like you're getting them for free for $5.
I'm going to say this. Lions are the king of the jungle. There's a reason why lions are the biggest and baddest things that there are, especially when you see that male lion with the big mane in real life. I mean, that is just incredible. Lions, hands down, are the king. And this is a good opportunity. You can support Zoo Knoxville. They are losing a ton of money. There's a petition out for immediate relief from Governor Bill Lee, so you can find that online. And also make a donation to Zoo Knoxville, because they are still caring for the animals even though they're closed.
All right, well, Josh kind of threw it earlier in the face-off, so Heather gets the win.
I'll take it.
Can we please get the, real quick for clarification for those who haven't heard it, Josh, can we get the story about the camel ride you got for your birthday and then your mother-in-law explaining it to somebody outside the family like the following week or something?
Yeah, no, this is absolutely true. I think it was my 30th birthday, so it's a big one. But Kelly and my mother-in-law surprised me with a trip to a safari zoo, and we did a big, long camel ride. All three of us were on different camels and did a little camel tour. And the next day for brunch, my my sister-in-law's husband, Brian, he's my brother-in-law. We've had conversations about what is the actual title. I just say my brother-in-law. But anyway, our birthday's the same week, same age and all that stuff. So we're sitting there having a little birthday brunch, and my mother-in-law is explaining that they took me to see animals and ride camels for my birthday, and it made it sound like I was 7 years old.
Oh, yeah.
But no, in fact, it was the big 3-0, and that was my birthday present.
Well,
I love camels. They're the best.
I would have put that story right next to Joel's Monopoly on his bachelor party. So there you go. Y'all are right next to each other on the shelf.
Well, also, Feast with the Beast, which is just a terrific event every August. You know, like a kid breaking away from his parents, and you're looking for him. Where is he? They found me riding a camel. $5 camel rides doing circles. You can't beat the deal. So, yeah, that's my my affection for camels.
Yeah. Have you taken Owen on one yet? Does he share the same love of the humpbacked mammal?
No, we're getting there. Okay. But he will. By golly, he wants to live under this roof.
I like it. The rules are different in the Ward household.
That's right. So Heather gets the win on the face-off. We continue, though, here on Hump Day on Sports 180, 656-9900. If you'd like to join us, Whip Babcock of the Virginia Tech Athletic Department, also the Division I Council, some comments to know on the upcoming college football season as different scenarios are considered. We'll talk about that, provide some info on that when we come back on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the sports animal.